Hello everyone, this is Sharon Lipinski and welcome to another interview on GivingCirclesHelp.com where we're compiling information and interviews from other people who are running Giving Circles, and our goal is to learn from each other and continuously improve our ability to make an impact with our giving. Today I'm speaking with Tracy Webb, the founder of the Black Benefactors Giving Circle. Their Giving Circle was founded in 2007. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you for having me.
Could you start by sharing with us a little bit about your Giving Circle and what your mission is?
Sure. The Black Benefactors, as you said, was officially launched in 2007. And we support organizations that serve the African-American community in the D.C. region. And our host organization is the Black Philanthropic Alliance, and they are an affinity group of Black professionals that work in the field in the D.C. region, and we're a donor-advised fund at our local community foundation, the Community Foundation for the National Capital Region. And, you know, since 2007, we've provided grants to three organizations, and, you know, hopefully our grant awards will increase with each grant cycle.
You know, could you talk with us a little bit about your relationship with the Black Philanthropic Alliance? So they're your sponsor, and you're a donor-advised fund. Can you kind of tell us what that means?
Sure. Well, the Black Philanthropic Alliance, as I mentioned, is an affinity group, and they provide a lot of, you know, support for professionals working in philanthropy in the D.C. region. And something that they have always wanted to do was to actually have a giving circle for their members. And we met. I met a member of the Black Philanthropic Alliance about a year before we launched, and they shared with me that, you know, hey, we're thinking about starting a giving circle, but since you have already done a lot of the work, I think it'll be a great fit. It'll be a great marriage because we had the same mission and goals. So, you know, I met with the board, and they voted to host our giving circle. And so they provide support. The members provide support to us, and, you know, we've hosted events together, and their members, so a lot of the members are founding members of our giving circle. So it's been a great partnership.
So what do they do for you that you can't do for yourself?
Well, I would say that when you're starting a giving circle, it really helped establish credibility from the beginning. Just the fact that the members are staff, you know, at local foundations, and they work in the nonprofit sector. That credibility was a huge piece in you know, getting the word out and in getting members. And as I mentioned, that a lot of the members of the Alliance are founding members. So that really helped, you know, once I was started to go out and share about the Giving Circle, and, you know, people were just, like, really impressed that, you know, we had this great partnership, and it really helped to get members early on. And so I used their expertise. Their members are on our committees, and because they have expertise in the grant-making and philanthropy sectors, it's been really helpful in getting our bylaws and getting our organization off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then do they also hold your donations? Do you write your checks to the Black Philanthropic Alliance?
Yes, actually, our fund name, like if someone writes a check, it's the Community Foundation / Black Benefactors BPA Fund.
Okay.
So it's like the fund is all one name. But we are a donor advised fund. The Black Philanthropic Alliance is an affinity group of the Community Foundation. And we're our donor advised fund is at the Community Foundation.
Okay. So you mentioned that they were very helpful in recruiting new members or giving you some credibility. So how many members did you start with, and how have you grown over the last few years?
Sure. Currently, to date, we've had about 40 members donate to our fund. And of those, it's about 10 founding members. And founding members, we paid $1,000. And because right now our annual donation amount is $250. A year.
Okay. So now your founding members, do those change over time, or can you opt in to be a founding member?
The founding membership was only for a 2-year period.
Oh, okay.
So that ended in 2009. And founding members, because they paid that initial donation amount, they will stay a member for the life of the fund, even if they don't donate again. But that founding donation, their founding membership donation, really helped to kickstart the fund.
Okay, I gotcha. And so now a membership in your giving circle is $250.
Yes.
And I noticed on your website that you broke it down into a monthly amount. Do you take monthly payments?
We do. And that's to help because member recruitment has been somewhat of a challenge. I've met a lot of people who are very interested and they want to join, but they may not have the funds right now to pay for a membership. So that's one way that we're addressing it, is to allow prospective members to pay in installments. So that could be monthly or it could be four times a year. So we just try to work with prospective members because we definitely want to try to remove barriers so they'll be able to join us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how many members do you have in your giving circle right now?
So right now we have about 12 annual members, and those are members that pay the $250 every single year.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Where do you go to look for new members? You mentioned when you went out, are you doing speaking engagements, or how does that look for you?
Actually, in the beginning, I would request to, speak at meetings and groups, but I found that recently, by extending personal invitations to people, has really been helpful. I think I've had better results that way. So what I've done is I've created a special letter. And depending on where they live in the D.C. region, we have, members in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, I'll find data, for their community, especially in the Black community and what's going on in their community and how joining our giving circle can help, address some of those, will support some of those organizations that are addressing those issues. So I'll send them a personal letter, and then I'll follow up with a phone call or an email and just, offer to, maybe we can meet and I'll share more information about the giving circle. And I found that that's helped to recruit members a lot more mm-hmm. than just, spending on an email blast or speaking in a group. I think it's, personalized. And the person is getting, a personal invitation, you've been selected because of your, commitment to the community or, your friend, your colleague, referred me to you mm-hmm. and, thought that you may be, a great member to join us. Mm-hmm. So that's really been helpful, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So now how often does your giving circle meet? Do you guys come together every month or?
Four times a year.
Okay.
And mostly in person. Initially, we were thinking about, a couple of times a year during a conference call.
Mm-hmm.
But after we had our last two meetings were in person. And, we just have so much fun that it's just, better to meet in person. We usually meet at a restaurant, usually that's African-American owned, or located in a community where we want to, support and target our resources in. So, we meet four times a year. And our agenda... what we discuss is I usually start with an update on the fund, which is, what our balance is and, any new members and, just to get questions, from the members. So that pretty much starts the meeting off, as well as reviewing meeting minutes from the previous meeting. And then we go into a grantee update. So we talk about each grantee. What I do is I stay in contact with each grantee. At least every month or every other month, just to find out, that there's any support that we can provide. Mm-hmm. And just also to learn, successes and highlights and if they've had any media exposure, that's something that we like to also share with our members. And so I'll provide a grantee update. And a lot of times when I share with the members, Organization A would really like to help in revamping their website. And then a member will say, I know someone or I can help. So that's really important, too, that, we not just provide grant funds, but also support from our members. And then we also talk about our partnership requests. We receive a lot of requests from organizations. They hear about us, and they want to know, how can I get a grant or how can I get involved? So we talk about those requests as well. And if we're planning any events, we also talk about that. So that's pretty much the agenda for our meeting.
Okay. And how often do you donate your funds? Is it an annual, once a year?
Yes. Well, actually, that's the plan, to provide grants annually.
Uh-huh.
But that really depends on our fund balance. As a donor-advised fund, a lot of community foundations, including ours, they have requirements that you have to have a certain amount in that fund before you can provide any grants, distribute any grants.
Okay.
So, and that amount is $10,000.
Okay.
So for the first round of grants, we pretty much disperse a lot of the fund. We kept about 20%. So what we're doing now is we're fundraising to get back up to 10,000 so we can issue our second round of grants. So we're about a little over halfway there right now, and we're going to actually start a push actually this summer until the end of the year. Hopefully by September or October we'll reach our goal. Oh. But, yes, and that's an interesting thing because you can say, you know, to a prospective member, you know, yes, we give out grants annually, but if you don't have enough members or your members are not, you know, donating every single year, you know, you'll have to, like, modify that. Whenever you get up to that 10,000 mm-hmm. is when you'll give out grants.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, you also allow corporations to be members of your giving circle.
Yes.
How are they different than people when you have an individual who joins?
Well, corporation, we target the smaller businesses, and you know, it's a perfect way for a small business to give back to the community and to their customers. And our annual donation amount for businesses is $2,500, and that's also can be paid in installments as well. And the difference is that when it comes time for grant making, a business will receive one vote, because that's how our grant process works, that, you know, we vote on organizations to fund. So, you know, there could be 10 employees in a small business, but, you know, they'll come together and they'll provide, like, one nomination and one vote mm-hmm. for who would, you know, receive a grant. Mm-hmm. And also they would get, you know, prime you know, exposure on our websites, on our social media sites. I think it's a great way to get them involved. When I was working as a director of a nonprofit, I've met a lot of small business owners that wanted to get involved in a community. And so at times they would maybe donate, you know, any kind of goods or services, but I always would hear from them, like, they really wanted a more structured way, like, how can we give back more on a regular basis, get more involved in the community. And so I thought this would be a great way to, you know, just kind of piggyback off of our individual membership to have corporate mm-hmm. membership.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice, too, because they can feel like, you know, they didn't donate $2,500. They donated so many, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars because it gets pulled together. So they can really feel like they're making an impact there. So they get one vote. So walk us through, like, your grant process here. Everybody else gets one vote. How do you get nominations?
Sure. So we have a grants committee, and our grants committee, we determine funding priorities for that cycle, and what we'll do is we'll present those recommendations to the membership, you know, before we actually get started with the cycle. And so how we start is that we, you know, we send out an email to the members saying, you know, grant cycle time is here, so we're accepting nominations, you know, from you for consideration to receive a grant. And we do have criteria, and that we prefer that the organization have a budget under $500,000. And, of course, that they be in 501c3, and that they are, you know, serving the African-American community in the D.C. region, that their services are primarily based here in the community. Once we receive those nominations in, the last grant cycle, we had about 9 or 10 nominations come in. And then the grants committee will conduct the due diligence, and just to make sure that they're 501c3, that, you know, they have a board that meets regularly, about the, you know, the clientele that they serve, the services that they provide. And then the last cycle, we narrowed it down to 4 out of all of that were nominated. And then what we do is we use SurveyMonkey, and then each member is allowed one vote among the nominations. And the grants committee pretty much compiles all of the data and the information and announces, you know, who the organizations that will be awarded a grant. So it's pretty much, it's really simple. Because we're volunteer run, you know, we don't have like a formal RFP or application process, you know, because we're all, you know, have full-time jobs, it'd be difficult mm-hmm. to manage that. So this has worked, and it worked great the first go around. And we awarded 3 grants to 3 organizations totaling $9,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really successful. And what we try to do is when we allocate grants, that it's no more than 80% of our annual budget. So we like to leave some in reserve. and not deplete the entire fund.
And then you build it back up again.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So what has been your biggest challenge running and starting this giving circle?
I would say member recruitment and involvement, I would say, are the biggest challenges. Regarding recruitment, as I said before, I've met a lot of people that, you know, are very interested and they want to join, but they may not have the funds, you know, to become a member. And, you know, I've heard from, a lot, it's the economic climate or I'm in between jobs, and, you know, I completely understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely don't just say, you know, oh, come back, you know, once you have the $250, you can join. I still like to allow people to support us and help us in any kind of way. We have what's called the Friends of the Black Benefactors. So those are people that, if they don't pay the $250, but they may donate $25, you know, to support our work. Or they may volunteer to help us at an event or to help us, you know, with our website or social media. Like, that's just as important.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely don't like to, you know, to turn anyone away that cannot become a member, or someone who was previously a member but cannot continue to pay the annual donation amount. You know, we'll still consider them a member. The only difference is that when it comes time for grant making, only individuals that are current and up to date will be able to participate as far as nominations and voting. And the second part of the challenge that I mentioned, member involvement, is that typically sometimes the same members are involved, meaning that, you know, come to meetings. I don't want to overburden those same members, even though they love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to overburden the same members. So I actually attended a Giving Circle workshop about a year and a half ago, and I learned that another Giving Circle, they survey their members annually. And, you know, just to ask them, you know, what is the best part about, you know, being a member of this Giving Circle? But, you know, how can you help? Like, what is it that you would like to do if you have time to help grow the circle? And so that's something that I want to implement. So that way, members that cannot always come to meetings, I want to keep them involved and engaged in some type of way.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me just a little bit more about the Giving Circle workshop that you went to?
Sure. That was hosted by Association of Baltimore Area Grant Makers.
Uh-huh.
And they had a wonderful Giving Circle workshop, and Giving Circles from all over, like the Baltimore, D.C. area, attended. And we talked about, you know, best practices, challenges, we talked about, you know, research on Giving Circles. I think the main highlight was just meeting other Giving Circles and learning, like, how they're structured,
mm-hmm.
how they keep their members engaged. But one thing that really stood out to me is that all of them that I talked to, we all had the same challenge, which is member involvement. Because a lot of members will join, even if they can pay, you know, the annual donation, they may not be as involved in the running of the Giving Circle. And that was common across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Giving Circle that I met, that's one way that they addressed that challenge, was to institute the survey. Another Giving Circle, they have a couple of volunteer events a year where it may be like a Susan Coleman walk or, you know, volunteering together in a community where it's the day where members can just come and meet each other and volunteer together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that may not work for all Giving Circles, but I really liked how they, learning, you know, how other Giving Circles address that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And we shared documents. We shared everyone's social media page, just so they gave us a great handout of everyone's Twitter, Facebook, you know, what status they posted on their wall and, you know, how many followers they had and how they got new followers. I mean, it was a really, really great workshop, and I look forward to it. I hope to have another one soon.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out, see if I can find some information online. So what advice would you give to somebody who was starting a Giving Circle?
I would say probably the most important is to determine, you know, where you want to house your fund, because that can implicate many other issues. So, for example, you know, there's some Giving Circles that they may, you know, hold their money in a bank, or they may all meet and decide on an organization and then give the money right then and there. There's some, you know, that are hosted at a community foundation. So I think that's really important is, you know, how the structure is set up initially, like where the fund will be housed. And I say that because, you know, because we're a donor-advised fund, there was another giving circle I was talking to, and I was sharing with them, you know, make sure that you are aware of, like, their requirements, the requirement of example of you have to have $10,000 in your fund,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it may take a while for you to get up to that amount. And so if you're not at a donor advised fund, if you decide to, okay, we're going to, you know, host our fund that we're just going to put our money in the bank until we're ready to provide grants. So I think that's really, really important, is to research as many giving circles as you have. And that's why it's great that you have your website and these interviews, so people can learn, like, different ways how giving circles are set up. And it also has implications, because if you're thinking about, we're going to do, like, fundraisers and have events and, you know, we're going to have members and we're going to have people donate. Well, if you're with a fiscal agent or a fund that may not be set up for that, you know, online, because that's a really popular way now that people donate. So you want to make sure that, you know, you want to have those processes set up where people can easily just go online and donate, and you'll be notified very promptly.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that is probably the best decision that you can make before you go any further with the planning of the circle, you know, meaning, like, you know, if you're going to focus on certain issue areas in your community, it's going to be co-ed or all women or, you know, specific ages, whatever it is, I think where you house your fund and how it's set up is the most important decision that you'll make.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how did you find the Black Philanthropic Alliance?
It was a meeting by chance, actually. When I was starting the Black Benefactors and doing my research, I came across a website called the Giving Forum, and, you know, that listed all of the giving circles. So I said, oh, you know, let me make sure that we're on their list too, so it can, you know, be on the website. When I contacted them and gave, you know, my information for us to be included, the young lady who worked there was a member of the Black Philanthropic Alliance. So she saw my information come through. She said, wait a minute, this seems very interesting. This is something that the Black Philanthropic Alliance has wanted to do for a while. So she contacted me, and we met for lunch. And I just shared with her, you know, my goal and mission. And she asked me, did I have a host? You know, how was I planning to structure and set up the fund? And I said, you know, that's a great question, because I haven't quite figured that out. But I know that there's giving circles are usually hosted, like maybe at a community foundation or has a fiscal agent. And I said I was exploring that idea. So she asked if I was open to, you know, having the Black Philanthropic Alliance be the host for the fund, because that was something that they were very interested in doing. And so I said, great, I would love to learn more. So she set up a meeting with their board a few months later, mm-hmm. and I just shared with them what I was doing. And we both talked about how we both can mutually benefit, you know, from the partnership. And then the board voted, I would say, a couple of weeks later. And that's how the partnership was formed. So it was really by chance, by, you know, forwarding my information to the Giving Forum and the young lady, you know, taking it from there.
Oh, interesting. So would you recommend that somebody starting a giving circle kind of seek out local foundations who may be interested in partnering?
I think that would be great. I mean, even if it's not a formal partnership like how mine is a host, but, you know, a great partnership. So it could be, when a giving circle launches, maybe a local affinity group or a local community foundation, you know, would maybe underwrite the event and say that, you know, we're partners in this effort. And that could be, you know, the foundation staff or the affinity group staff providing, you know, technical assistance or support for that giving circle. But I think that will be really great, especially at the launch of a giving circle, to have that type of partnership.
Mm-hmm. So, Tracy, we only have just a couple minutes left, so there's two questions that I want to ask you. And the first is, what do you find most rewarding about being part of a giving circle?
I would say meeting new friends and that have the same, you know, passion that I do of giving back to the community. That's been a great experience for me. And another great part of being a member is just getting to make that call or send that email to an organization to say, you know, you're one of our first grantees, and we like to, you know, help and support you. Because this has been, you know, many years in the making for me, you know, since 2005 when I first came up with the idea, and to actually, you know, talk to an organization and say, you know, here's your grant. I mean, that was an amazing experience for me.
And if somebody is out there in the DC area and thinking about joining a giving circle, what would you tell them about why to join your giving circle?
I would say that, why should they join? It's not, you're not just giving back to the community, but you're, connecting with, like-minded peers. And you're learning about needs in the community. It's really interesting that so many things that we've learned that that were going on in the community that we didn't even know about that really impacted the Black community. So it's not just about using your funds, but also using your expertise. Meeting new friends, and it's an investment in the community and an investment in future generations. And it's also really important that our younger generation sees, especially donors of color, because I think in our work, we've seen that a lot of our younger generation, they may not, be aware of all of the many donors that we have that support an organization that, especially in the African-American community, we may be viewed as recipients of philanthropy rather than donors. Mm. And so I think it's really important that you see that, we're active, we're out there, and we're giving back. And a future goal of mine is to have a youth component to the giving circle to get, to get youth involved and started early. So that's a goal I would really love to see come to fruition.
I love that idea. And it really, $20 a month is even accessible for young people.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you would like to share with us now?
I would say we probably covered everything. I will say that we have social media. We're on Facebook, and we're on Twitter. And we like to share, what organizations are doing and events that they have to support them. So, definitely be sure to check out our social media sites as well.
Okay. Tracy, I want to thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, your advice, and your experience. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.